right. I remember when I was working in construction years ago, one of the first things that I learned was that for every job, there is a proper tool. For every job, there is a proper tool. And so in construction, the job will always be done better, and it will always be done more efficiently if you use the right tool. That's why you never see a good carpenter using his shoe as a hammer to drive a nail into the wall. You don't see that because he knows shoes don't work very well as hammers. You'll never see him using his knife, his pocket knife, to tighten the screw. I know MacGyver does it, but you're not supposed to. The right tool is a good screwdriver. And so in order to get a job done effectively and properly, then there has to be the use of a right tool. And in the very same way, every person whom God has chosen and every person whom God has saved by His marvelous grace, that person has been set aside and has been designated to fill a specific place and to accomplish a specific task. That means if you're here this morning and you have been saved by the grace of God, God has a purpose for your life. And that's why Satan tries so hard to get us focused on so many other things that we miss what God's purpose is for our life. And we actually end up doing damage to the cause of Christ instead of being a help to the cause of Christ because of the attitudes or the actions or whatever it is that may come into our life that get us sidetracked and cause us to become an ineffective tool for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the very thing the Apostle Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. He said, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." That's the word we're going to be looking at this morning. The word we're going to be dealing with this morning, the word sanctification. Now, since our sanctification, according to this verse, since our sanctification is God's will, then we ought to know what it is, don't you think? We ought to be able to understand what is it taught. If it's God's will for me to be sanctified, then, well, what does that mean? We need to know. We need to know exactly what it means. You remember last time we talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In our study together, we saw, first of all, the fact of the indwelling. How that every believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, is living inside of them 24/7. From the time you get saved to the time you go to heaven, the Holy Spirit of God is living inside of you. He's the witness to every action. He's the witness to every word. He's the witness to every motive of our heart. He's there. He sees it all. He lives inside of us. And so we talked about the fact of the indwelling. We saw the purpose of the indwelling. There were five things that we mentioned last time, five things that the Holy Spirit does as He indwells us. And then we talked about the duration of the indwelling, as I've already mentioned. It is until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes us to our heavenly home, or as the Apostle Paul said, until the day of redemption. Until the day of redemption. But now we want to notice another work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, there's another work that He is doing in each heart and in each life, and that is this work of sanctification. The work of sanctification. So let's consider a couple of main thoughts here together for the next few minutes. Number one, the meaning of sanctification. The meaning of sanctification. As we seek the biblical definition for this word, there are two points that we will immediately discover. First of all, the word sanctified. It means to be dedicated. It means to be dedicated. Let's notice the first time this word is mentioned in the Bible. You remember in the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? In 6 days, and it's outlined for us there in Genesis chapter 1. In 6 days, and it tells us what God did each day of that creation week. But then we come to chapter 2 and verse number 3 in the book of Genesis. It says, "And God blessed the seventh day." Okay, 6 days He worked, but now He comes to the seventh day. "And God blessed the seventh day," the Bible says, and here's the word, He sanctified it. He sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. In other words, this seventh day, different from the other 6 days, this seventh day is dedicated. It is set apart as a day of rest. Set apart as a day of rest. So the word sanctify then simply means to be set apart or to be dedicated to God's purpose. To be set apart or to be dedicated to God's purpose. And by the way, this idea is not just seen in the seventh day of the week. It's not just seen in the seventh day of the week through the Bible. Through the Bible, we find the command is given that the firstborn of both man and beast was to be sanctified. You can find that in Exodus chapter 13, verse number 2. In other words, it was to be dedicated to the Lord. The firstborn of man or beast, dedicated to the Lord. At Mount Sinai, in Exodus chapter 19, verse number 23, at Mount Sinai, we find that the tabernacle was dedicated or sanctified, set apart from all the other mountains on the earth. Mount Sinai was set apart because that's where God met with His chosen people, you see. When we go over to Leviticus chapter 8, we find the tabernacle and all of the instruments were sanctified. Leviticus 8, verse number 10 and verse 11. In other words, those instruments in that building, they were set apart and were to be used for no other purpose than the worship and the service of God. In fact, to use them in any other way would bring serious consequences. They were sanctified. They were set apart, dedicated to the service of God. In Leviticus chapter 27 and verse number 14, the house of man could be sanctified. The house of a man could be sanctified several times through my years in the Orient, and especially in Korea. This was a big deal there. Whenever they would have a new house, they would invite us to come and we would have a little service in their house. And we would sing a couple of hymns and I would bring a short message and then we would have prayer and we would literally dedicate that house to the Lord. Dedicate the house to the Lord. That's exactly what was going on in the Old Testament times. Man's house would be dedicated. It would be sanctified. It would be set apart. In other words, it would be recognized as a place where God was honored and worshiped and served. Sanctified. The fact is, not only these things that we have mentioned, but the fact is, Everything that we have should be sanctified. Everything that we have should be dedicated to the purpose of fulfilling and doing God's will, fulfilling God's purpose. For example, when I was in a boy, and I've shared this with some of you before, but it's such a wonderful illustration. Let me share it with you again. When I was a boy, we had a man in our church by the name of Les Caldwell. Les Caldwell played a saxophone professionally. He was a professional saxophone player, played the alto sax, and was basically employed by a band that played in the nightclubs around Greenville, South Carolina. And that was his world. He was surrounded by the drinking and the immorality and all that goes on in the nightclubs, and so he was surrounded by that, playing his saxophone in this jazz band. But Les Caldwell got saved. And when he got saved, his life was totally changed. That's what's supposed to happen, you know. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, everything becomes new. And so when he got saved, his life was totally changed. And as a result of the change that God made in his life, on the bell of the saxophone, that's the part that comes up where the noise comes out, okay? When on the bell of that, he actually had an engraver to engrave for him the words, "Dedicated to the glory of God." You know what that meant? That meant that saxophone had been sanctified. That saxophone had been set aside, it had been set apart for only one purpose, and that was to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. what it means. It means, first of all, to be dedicated. But there's another meaning that we find in the Bible when we think about this word sanctified. Not only is it dedicated, but it is also letter B. It means to be purified. It means to be purified. In other words, sanctification involves putting away some things. We dedicate it, but then more than that, we put away those things that are sinful and things that are unclean. For example, we find it clearly illustrated in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse number 5, and said unto them, "Hear ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves." Here's the command. You sanctify yourself. Well, what does that mean? Well, look what he says. "Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness." Carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. And so this word sanctified, not only does it mean to be set apart for God's pure purpose and for God's honor and for God's glory, but it also means to clean out some things that are defiling. To clean out those things in our life, whether it be ungodly attitudes or ungodly actions, clean those things out in order that we might be sanctified for God's purpose, for God's glory. So when we deal with this word sanctification, then it basically has two meanings. First, to be set apart for God's purpose. To be set apart for God's service. Or to say it simply, to be dedicated to God. But it also carries the idea to be separated from that which is evil or that which is defiling. In other words, to be purified for His use. Purified for His use. Now that brings us to the second thing that I want us to notice this morning about this word sanctification, and that is the responsibility of it. The responsibility of sanctification. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." Now I want you to notice in this verse there are two things that we find that seem like a contradiction. The first thing you see is that we are to sanctify ourselves. Do you see that? We are to sanctify ourselves. But then on the other hand, we're told that it is God who sanctifies us. So which one is it? No volunteers? Let's see. Brother Allen, didn't Pastor Ming Fai ask you a question the other night? Okay, I'm going to ask you one now. Which one is it? Which one is it? Well, the truth of the matter is, both sides are involved. Both sides are involved. And so let's begin by noticing, first of all, let's talk about God's side. Let's talk about God's side. In the Scriptures, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2, there are two things that we find very clearly presented. Two things that are clearly presented. First of all, we find that we were elected by God the Father. You remember we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We were elected by God the Father. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, "We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." And so we saw a couple of weeks ago how that God the Father, according to his foreknowledge, he is omniscient God. He knows everything. He knows the end from the very beginning, from eternity past. He knows everything that's ever going to happen. And so from eternity past, God the Father, because of what he foreknew, he elected, he chose those who would be saved. And we learned that this choice, again, not an arbitrary thing, not something that was arbitrary or random, rather it was based on the fact that God in his foreknowledge knew who would believe on Jesus Christ and who would reject Jesus Christ. And it was based on what he knew that God made his choice. And because of the foreknowledge of God, not only were we elected and chosen, chosen to be saved. But there's another thing that goes along with that foreknowledge, and that is this. Number two, we were sanctified by God the Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, 2, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, when we were elected to be saved, when we were chosen to be saved by the foreknowledge of God, we were also, at that very same time, we were set apart. We were set apart by the Spirit of God, so that we might be obedient to the gospel message. In other words, so that we might believe and repent of our sin. And we were also set apart so that we might be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's very basic. That's Christianity 101. That's a very basic thing. Very basic thing. But there's another point that goes along with this that we need to mention. You see, not only did God in His foreknowledge choose us to be saved, but He also chose us with a specific plan and specific purpose in mind. Did you realize that before the heavens and earth were ever created, not only did God know who would be saved and who would not be saved, but God also knew exactly what each one of us as His followers would do, how we would serve Him, how we would obey Him, what purpose we could fulfill in our lives for His honor and glory. God knew all about that. And He set us apart for that purpose. Set us apart for that purpose. You see, God did not save us to sit on our blessed assurance. That's a wonderful song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. I love that song. But God didn't save us so we could just sit and sing Blessed Assurance. God saved us so that we could serve. He saved us because there's a purpose that He wants to have fulfilled in our life. There's a plan that He has for us. And we are set apart by the Holy Spirit. We are sanctified to that purpose, or for that purpose. This very thing that we see, for example, go back to the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. Notice what God said to Jeremiah back in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. The Lord God said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." In other words, Jeremiah, before you were ever conceived, I already knew about you. I already knew all about you. Before you were ever conceived in the womb of your mother, I knew everything about you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I had a plan. I had a purpose for your life. And so I ordained thee.